The psychological toll taken by the terrorist attacks is still being measured in mental health clinics, on therapists' couches, and in the changed lives of New Yorkers. Though it's now been 11 weeks since September 11th, the trauma remains vivid for many. NPR's Melissa Block reports from New York.
73-year-old Patricia Berger lives by herself in Hell's Kitchen in Manhattan, a neighborhood once known for rampant violence and drug dealing. She calls herself a tough old bird, but the attacks of September 11th have radically changed how she perceives herself.
Vulnerable, so terribly, terribly vulnerable.
In response, she's stuffed every nook and cranny of her small apartment with provisions.
Under here, these are all the soups, okay? That's the seltzer department. See all those corned beefs? Now, I don't even eat that regularly, but...
She's stockpiled dozens of bags of ramen noodles, cans of sardines and tuna, gallon jugs of water, 15 of them.
And candles. Don't forget the candles.
She's also bought sheets of plastic and roll upon roll of duct tape so she can seal her windows.
I just want to be prepared, and I don't think that's unreasonable. You know, in World War II, you had stuff stored away in case the unthinkable happened.
When the unthinkable hit this city, Patricia Berger's life changed utterly. This woman, who used to walk all over the city, now has drawn an imaginary line around her immediate neighborhood. She'll venture out only between 8th and 11th Avenues, and from 42nd Street only up to 51st.
I wanted to be able to get home if something happened and, you know, put up my plastic and things like that. I wanted to be able to be home. And I said to a good friend of mine, I said, "Do you think I'm getting a little crazy?" She said, "A little."
Berger lives miles from the Trade Center site. She didn't personally know anyone killed in the attacks, but she tears up just thinking about the victims, especially the 15 firefighters from her local firehouse who perished. She admits she's surprised by how immobilized she's become. "I feel they stole my city away from me," she says. That vulnerability is a theme that psychologist Robert Remian has heard day after day from his patients. They talk of nightmares, anxiety, helplessness, anger.
I personally, as many of my patients, are often struck by the words that coming from our leaders that say, "Get back to your normal life." And there's an obvious contradiction in that, because things are not normal. And I think it's very helpful when you say to people, "You're right, this is not normal. This is challenging, this is strange, this is bizarre, this is unreal." And they actually find it comforting to hear that, those words, because they realize, "I'm not alone in experiencing what I'm experiencing."
Dr. Remian notes that some of his patients have taken on maladaptive behaviors. They've started smoking again, drinking too much, overeating, or engaging in unsafe sex. The patterns are repeating themselves all over the city. Mary Lynn Cloytra directs the Anxiety and Traumatic Stress Program at New York Presbyterian Hospital.
People who were depressed are feeling more depressed. We have people who had panic attacks before because of their sort of experience of threat in the world, and again, this confirms their feelings that the world is a threatening place. We also have new people coming in, people very worried, anxious. Generalized anxiety about every little thing.
That anxiety is manifesting itself most clearly in widespread sleep disruption, people having difficulty falling asleep or staying asleep. Dr. Neil Cavey is director of the Sleep Disorders Center at Columbia Presbyterian Hospital.
We live with a certain balance of sleep and alertness. Now, all of us, we're even told by our government to be a little more alert, a little more vigilant. So the whole balance of sleep and wakefulness has been changed just a little bit, because now we're idling, to use a little car analogy, our wakefulness is idling at a higher speed. That means sleep has to come in a little more forcefully, or it will have trouble coming in and taking over this elevated alertness.
Dr. Cavey says he's telling doctors they can be more aggressive in prescribing sleeping pills in the short term to help people get over this hump. At the New York University Counseling Service, Dr. Victor Schwartz estimates his doctors are prescribing about 25% more anti-anxiety drugs and antidepressants than in the same period last year. The reminders of the attacks are constant, Dr. Schwartz says, especially the now familiar stench of the still smoldering rubble pile.
A smell can evoke a very powerful kind of emotional memory for people.
And it really brings them back to if they were downtown when the attacks occurred. It evokes some of the same feelings and just brings back the memories of the experience.
While many New Yorkers are suffering, there is a flip side, too. Some therapists mention that patients with long-standing depression or anxiety are stronger now, that their problems in the context of the September 11th devastation have come to seem more manageable. And for others, there's hope that time will lessen the strain. As an example, last week, Patricia Berger did the unthinkable. She left the neighborhood. She swallowed hard and got on a bus to Maryland to be with her family for Thanksgiving. Melissa Block, NPR News, New York.